Well, one day Pope Pius IX was walking through the Vatican and he was showing some friends, giving them a private tour of the Vatican, and they were asking him, "Holy Father, what is the greatest treasure in the Vatican?" And they came to the Pietà, the beautiful sculpture, and they said, "Surely this must be the greatest treasure in the Vatican." And the Holy Father said, "No." Then they went to the Sistine Chapel and looked up at the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And they said, "Surely this must be the greatest treasure in the Vatican." And the Pope said, "No." And they said, "Well, then what is it?" And the Pope reached into his pocket and pulled out a rosary. And he said, "This is the greatest treasure in the Vatican. And it is the Holy Rosary, which is the pocket New Testament. It is a pocket catechism. The rosary is a school for saints. It can be prayed by the greatest, most brilliant intellect, like a Thomas Aquinas, or it could be prayed by a little child. And each one will derive great benefit from praying of the rosary, because the rosary is meditating upon the life of Christ and our Blessed Mother. It is meditating upon the most important events in the New Testament. You can't always carry your Bible with you, but you can always carry your rosary with you, because that is our pocket New Testament. I like to call it my New Testament Cliff Notes, right? Remember in college you had your Cliff Notes. I know you never read them in place of the big book, right? Just like we don't replace the Bible with the rosary, we still read the Bible, and we read the Bible every day, but it's good to have those Cliff Notes to refresh our minds on the most important events in sacred scripture. It's also a pocket catechism. It can teach people the Catholic faith through the prayers, the Apostles' Creed, the Our Fathers, the Hail Marys, and then meditating upon these mysteries in the Holy Rosary. We know that our Blessed Mother wants us to pray the Rosary every day. In her apparitions in these last few hundred years, you'll notice that her actions speak louder than words. When she appeared to St. Bernadette in 1858 at Lourdes, Our Lady told her to pray the rosary every day. The rosary was over Our Lady's elbow. It was 1858. In 1917, she appeared to the three children of Fatima, told them to pray the rosary every day. Where was the rosary in 1917? It was in her hand. And she pleaded, "Pray the rosary every day for peace and for the end of the war." Then she appeared again, 1932, 1933 in Barang and Banneau, Belgium. Where was the rosary then? In her fingertips. So as the times get closer and closer to the end times, whenever that may be, the urgency of praying the rosary becomes more important. So notice, 1858, 1917, 1933, the rosary is in Our Lady's fingertips, and she again pleads, "Pray the rosary every day." Why does Our Lady want us to pray the rosary? It is prayer that brings about our conversion, our ongoing conversion of heart that we all need. When we pray the rosary, we're meditating upon the life of Christ. We are meditating upon the scriptures, the Word of God, which begins to transform us more and more into the image and likeness of Christ. When we pray the rosary, we begin to interiorize the life of Christ and grow in the virtues. In fact, the rosary is so powerful because in every decade we pray for a particular virtue, whether it be faith, hope, charity, patience, love of God, zeal for souls, grace of a happy death, perseverance. And it's really our virtues, these good habits, that help to make us holy and to transform us more and more into the image and likeness of Christ. So the rosary is so powerful. We are meditating upon scripture, interiorizing the life of Christ, praying for the virtues of our Blessed Mother. And the rosary is amazing because it's the prayer of the mind, the prayer of the lips, the prayer of the heart, and the prayer of the hand. When we pray the rosary, those beads slip through our fingers, and it reduces stress, just like knitting or crocheting reduces stress. So praying the rosary Moving those beads through your fingers reduces stress. It's also the prayer of the lips, because we say the Our Fathers and the Hail Marys, but we don't just give God lip service. Of course, vocal prayer is important, but remember, it's also the prayer of the mind. When you picture in your mind the events in the life of Christ, His scourging at the pillar, His crowning with thorns, the crucifixion, the resurrection. So you think and try to picture that scene. But then also, it's the prayer of the heart, where you get into the mysteries emotionally by those joyful mysteries, asking Our Lady Mary, how did it feel? What was it like to have the angel Gabriel visit you? Or to give birth to Christ in the cave in Bethlehem? Or to lose Jesus for 3 days in Jerusalem? See, that's the prayer of the heart. And then you ask in the luminous mysteries and in the glorious mysteries, early Christians, apostles, early church, what was it like to hear the Sermon on the Mount? What was it like to be at the Last Supper? What was it like to witness Jesus resurrected, or to see Him ascending, or to feel the Holy Spirit come down upon you? And then in the sorrowful mysteries, Jesus, what was it like to sweat blood in the garden, to be scourged at the pillar, to be crowned with thorns? See, that's the prayer of the heart. So the joyful mysteries, Mary, what did it feel like? Sorrowful, Jesus, what was it like? Luminous and glorious, early Christians, apostles, early church, what was it like? And it takes 10 Hail Marys to get into those emotions that we can experience in this powerful prayer. So the rosary is the prayer of the hand, the prayer of the lips, the prayer of the mind, and the prayer of the heart. And our Blessed Mother, of course, wants us to pray the rosary every single day. Every single day, of course, for the end of abortion. Pray the rosary for peace throughout the world, for the end of war. And this is the most powerful prayer, because it is the prayer of the gospel. God bless you.